The hope that's inside of you is like how someone else looks at you. So someone else sees you and they're intrigued. They're wondering why is this person acting differently, or why are they, you know, so loving or kind or something like that.
Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. And we're thinking about back to school today. As you live out your faith in front of your friends, how do you answer those questions about who we are in Christ and why we believe the way we do?
And then they come to you and they ask you to explain, you know, your behavior or why you act the way that you do. And that's when we give a defense, not just for a set of beliefs, but we give a defense for how we've been acting in our everyday life.
That ability to verbalize what we believe and why is so important for all of us. Today, however, we're going to focus in on the younger believer as we think about those vulnerable children and young adults who are heading back to school, whether it's kindergarten or university. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. You know, I had a great time in school, but that sound, the school bell, it makes me feel like I'm back in school and maybe even late for class. Been there, done that. But we know there are millions of young people who are headed back to school, and we want to spend some time today talking about how to defend our faith, how to put on the full armor, as Paul says to the church in Ephesus, or as Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15, always having a reason for the hope within you. Which we'll hear our guest talk more about in just a minute. Our focus is young people, but our guest also will be addressing parents. I hope you can stay with us for the next 25 minutes or so. And if there is someone you'd like to share this conversation with, you can do that easily by going to our website at myocn.net and clicking on the Listen button, or they can do that and then select Come Receive the Light, or CRTL. We'd also appreciate your feedback. You can share your thoughts and maybe your prayer requests with us when you go to the website. Again, that's myocn.net, or you'll find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Google+. We're a nonprofit ministry and continue because of our financial partners, people like yourself who want to help us reach around the world. When you go to the website, just click on the Donate Now button. You can donate safely and securely on our website. Well, Father Chris is the founder of OCN, the Orthodox Christian Network, and our host for this particular broadcast. He is also the new president of Hellenic College Holy Cross School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. And our guest today, Mike Tischel, is also on staff at Hellenic College Holy Cross as the director of the Office of Vocation and Ministry.
Welcome, Mike.
Thank you very much, Father. It's good to be here.
I've read somewhere that you said we think we can use 1 Peter 3:15 as a springboard. Tell us what that means and maybe read us that verse.
Yeah, absolutely. So the verse says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So that's the verse. And I think it's a very helpful foundation for understanding how, as Orthodox Christian young people, especially in high school, we can approach talking to our friends or fellow students or teachers who don't share the same faith, or maybe don't have any faith or wouldn't necessarily associate themselves with any religious tradition. I think it's a very packed verse, but one of the biggest things that I'd like to talk about is this word defense, mm-hmm. Which in Greek is apologia, and in the New Testament it's only used a few times. But I think when we think about defending our faith, or you know, the technical term is like apologetics. It's something that often brings us to a place of maybe debate or you know, wanting to argue different points or different concepts or ideas or beliefs or something like that. But here, I believe that the author brings us to a very different place where he says, giving a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that's in you. So it's really actually not necessarily defending your faith as in, you know, a set of beliefs, but defending that hope that's already existing inside of you, and
right.
It's the hope of Jesus Christ. So that I think there's a lot that can be said about this verse, but that's really why I wanted to use it as a springboard, because it gives us a different idea of what apologetics are all about.
So the hope aspect is the positive part here. We're not talking about defense and offense, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We're not trying to defend like a set of ideas or you know, something on a more philosophical level. We're you know, the whole idea of defending the hope that's inside of you is like, you know, has to do with how someone else looks at you. So someone else sees you and they're intrigued. They're wondering why is this person acting differently, or why are they, you know, so loving or kind or something like that. And then they come to you and they ask you, you know, to explain, you know, your behavior or why you act the way that you do. And that's when we give a defense, not just for, you know, sort of an ideology or you know, a set of beliefs, but we give a defense for how we've been acting in our everyday life.
So let me ask you this question then, Mike. How can we talk about our faith? How can our kids talk about our faith without arguing about faith or making the other person feel like we're trying to convert them?
Because all of us, you know, no matter who we are or where we come from, are created by God in His image and likeness, that we are all God's children. And I know, you know, it sounds a little cliche sometimes to say that, but especially when we're dealing with tough situations in school, I think it's important to remember that, because if we don't have the foundation of looking at our classmate or our teacher as being a brother and sister in terms of, you know, being a fellow child of God, then, you know, it's going to be a sort of us versus them encounter, when it really should be, you know, seeing another person, you know, even if they're of a different tradition, as being a made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, it's our duty, it's our call as Christians to love them. You know, every situation is unique, every person is unique, so it's hard to give sort of an overall general prescription for how we should talk to people. But I definitely think that it's important to be humble in the way that we talk to people, to be civil about our conversations, and to be personal. I think there's two extremes that we want to avoid. One of them is to be argumentative, as we were mentioning before.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be you know, sort of aggressive about our faith. We don't want to be defensive in a negative sense. We don't want to necessarily see our faith as like concepts or a philosophy or something. And we don't want to immediately discredit the other person's truth or what they believe or you know, have faith in. But on the other extreme, we don't want to fall into a sort of a relativism where we kind of see everybody's truth as being just fine, and there's really no need to search for, you know, a deeper meaning or truth in life, and where we avoid sort of real differences, where we don't really see the importance of following something outside of ourselves. So those are the two extremes, I would say, this sort of like argumentative mentality and then this just seeing truth as being relative. And then I would say, you know, the middle path, or the path that we should be following, is one of real Christian dialogue. And I say that in a very, you know, a personal way, that dialogue means truth is personal. You know, it's talking about truth as being the person of Jesus Christ, that we should really honor all human beings as being children of God. And we could admit points of commonality, you know, points that we both have, that we share, you know, just even just as being fellow human beings or in our faith traditions, but then also be very honest about where, you know, our tradition does not agree with their tradition. And I think as long as we're really deeply seeking, you know, Christ and the truth, and as long as we can see that the other person is also seeking this, then we'll have a really fruitful dialogue. But I think it's tough when, you know, it's these kind of spur of the moment attacks, you know, in a class setting, or someone, you know, challenges you and you're sort of caught off guard and then you want to argue about it. But I think that the most important thing to remember is that, you know, no one is ever going to be persuaded or argued into becoming a Christian or into following Christ. You know, only the Holy Spirit can really persuade someone to follow Christ. And it's our job to be loving, to be patient, to explain things as articulately as we can, but also to be humble and to admit, you know, when sometimes we don't have the answers. I think that's also really important.
Mike, that presupposes, though, that the person on the other side wants to listen and wants to dialogue. I'm going to bring up the issue of Chick-fil-A. I don't know if you're following this company. The company is a multi-billion-dollar company. The owners have said that they wanted to move into the Chicago area. The mayor and a few people in Chicago have said, no, we don't want you here. And the reason they're using that is because the owners of Chick-fil-A are against same-sex marriage.
Right.
So here's a situation where there's no dialogue. I have my opinion, I have my belief, and therefore you're not wanted. So our kids are living in a very polemic society where no matter what they say, and even if they approach it in love, the other person may say, you know what, I don't even want to talk to you because we're not from the same plane. So that has created a problem, I think, for our kids and might actually push them into, I'll just keep my mouth shut, I won't get involved because I may not even know my faith well enough.
Yes.
What do you want to say about that?
It's a very challenging environment for high school students, for college students. And, you know, there aren't any easy answers, I think, in terms of how we can deal with that. I would say, you know, in our Crossroads Summer Institute for high school students that we run during the summer times, one of the things that we really try to encourage the participants to think about and to explore is this whole idea that, you know, oftentimes we don't have easy answers to things, but life is really a lot more about asking questions, and not just asking questions, but asking good questions. So, for example, you know, one question would be, how do I defend my faith in a hostile environment? Or how do I, you know, talk about my faith in a hostile environment? And I do think that is an important question, and I do want to address it. But I also want to offer sort of the position that maybe another question to ask that might be also fruitful is not just how do I defend my faith, but how do I encounter Christ in my life? And how do I come to know Christ in my life? Because, you know, when we don't have Christ as our foundation, you know, in terms of the way that we live our lives, in terms of, you know, the truth that we're seeking, and you know, who we're seeking in terms of, you know, seeking the person of Christ, then we really don't have a foot to stand on in talking to people. You know, even if they are open to dialogue, we don't have a real foundation because we don't really have an experience of our faith. And that's not a problem. That's definitely, you know, it's a great thing to come to an awareness of that for a high school student, I think. But I think it's important for us to come to awareness and to humbly say, you know, I really don't have very much of an experience in my faith, and much of what I know of my faith or what I've experienced in my faith is because my parents were raising me that way. But now it's time for me to really start to, you know, ask, how do I come to know Christ? You know, how do I come to know God? How do I explore this more deeply and have a personal relationship with Christ and the church? And then in so doing, I think it becomes easier to answer that second question about how do I defend my faith in a hostile environment? Because if we don't have that taste of the sweetness of a life in Christ, then defending our faith in a hostile environment is going to seem fairly pointless. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and so first I would definitely emphasize that taste. However, I don't want to avoid the question altogether because I think it's an important one in terms of how we can talk about things. And I think, you know, like especially when kids are in class, you know, a lot of times if the professor or the teacher or even other students know that someone, you know, has a strong faith or life in the church, sometimes, you know, that they'll use that as a way of kind of trying to get at them a little bit, or, you know, or just in general, there can be some you know, provoking or hostility and things like that. And I do think that it's important to try to avoid, you know, again, I don't want to speak too generally, because, you know, there's very different situations, but I do think it's helpful to avoid those kind of public debates, because I think there's so much that's involved with those, you know, in terms of people's reputation. You know, the teacher wants to sort of maintain a certain reputation, things like that. And so I think it's helpful if someone is very respectful, polite, and just, you know, maintains their composure, tries to answer as best they can, but then maybe afterwards approaching the teacher or something and trying to talk about things a little bit more in depth. But I think what you said, Father, about someone not necessarily wanting to dialogue is very important, because I truly believe that if the other person or a group of people, you know, aren't open to dialogue, then it's really going to be challenging. It's really going to be difficult to convey anything that's going to be fruitful for you and for the other person.
The problem is this, Mike. So we have a situation in Chicago. Let's use that for example. Our kids are seeing that on television.
Right.
This person is now defending what he believes is the biblical definition of marriage.
Right.
And the people who want tolerance and want understanding are now the ones who are criticizing the one who has an opinion.
Right.
So our kids are seeing this, and they're confused. They're saying, well, wait a minute, what is it you want? You know, what side are you on here? And that is why our faith, that is why Scripture, that's why the tradition, the full tradition of the Orthodox Church is so important, because if we're steeped in it, as you've said, and we know what we're doing, we're living in Christ, well, then we can parse through these things, and we can see, as my late father-in-law used to say, people are people. You know, they're going to come up with their ideas.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean you have to believe in them.
Right.
Let me ask you just a couple more, because it seems we're running out of time here. But
sure.
I just want to talk with you a bit about kids who come home from school, and they may be teased because of their faith, or the kid who comes home. I remember my big fat Greek wedding when she went to school with you know, moussaka, and the other girl had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and they said, what's the moussaka? What is that? And they said it was mousskaka, you know, something like that. So they came up with these things. I mean, our traditions are different. Our faith is different. I really look at it this way. We're not different. We happen to carry the original faith. It's you people that have made the changes.
Sure.
And people will say, how come you have bishops? And my response is, why don't you? How come? You know, if you're part of the original church, where are you? So these are the things our kids go through. They can be teased by that. How do our kids deal with it?
You know, I think especially in high school, you know, in that stage of life, it can be really difficult because, you know, I remember when I was in high school, you know, I was really trying to figure out who I was in the world, you know, wanting to, you know, be liked, you know, to have a good group of friends. I mean, these are very normal feelings to have when you're in high school. So the last thing you want to do oftentimes is stick out like a sore thumb, you know, amongst your peers. And, you know, I certainly remember that. I'm a PK myself, and, you know, sometimes my dad would come, you know, with his raso to our small evangelical school, the high school that I attended. And you know, all the other dads were coming in their business suits and things like that. And, you know, here my dad is coming in this, you know, traditional garb. And
let's define PK for our listeners who don't know what that is. That's priest's kid. But go ahead.
Definitely. Yes, exactly. I was a child of a clergyman. And you know, it was a very challenging time for me. I remember that. And, you know, I think, you know, what you're mentioning, Father, about, you know, coming to school perhaps with food that's fasting appropriate, you know, that might not contain meat or dairy or something like that on a Wednesday or Friday, is another challenge. You know, not wanting to stick out too much, you know, amongst their peers, you know, especially in that very sensitive time of life. And you know, I think there's a few things to keep in mind with that. I think, you know, in retrospect, you know, some of those experiences, although sort of painful at the time or challenging at the time, really were checkpoints for me, or like, you know, important points in my life where I had to make the decision between, you know, what was lasting and important and true, and what was sort of fleeting, you know. And when I say fleeting or, you know, more transitory, that's like other people's opinion of me. And the things that are lasting and true are my beliefs, you know, what I really stand for, what I really trust in, you know, who do I trust in? Do I trust in myself? Do I trust in my friends? Do I trust in Christ and the church? You know, and these are big questions that people in high school and college and, you know, all of us have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I think the most important thing to keep in mind is maybe, you know, just to accept the fact that, you know, our life, if we're really seeking to live an honest, you know, sincere and Christian way of life, is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. And there's going to be a lot of friction, a lot of challenging moments, especially when we're called to love, not even just our friends, but actually called to love our enemies. That is not an easy thing to do. And so, you know, for these high school students, I think these are real defining moments, you know, to have to stand up for themselves amongst their peers, and to realize that you know, the end goal isn't always just to fit in and to look good or even acceptable, you know, to other people, but the end goal is love. And oftentimes that can take on a very selfless picture. And sometimes it even means that we come home and we, you know, we're hurt, or we cry because, you know, people aren't accepting us. But, you know, we have to look to the person of Christ. You know, when he came, you know, he was God. He was, you know, the true human being, the image of the Father, and yet people rejected him all the time. People spat upon him. People, you know, persecuted him to the point where he was actually crucified. And yet, as we were mentioning before, there's hope. There's hope in the resurrection and in a true joyful life in Christ because of love.
Okay, Mike, two final things. I want you're speaking to the young people now. This is our month. It's back-to-school month for us at OCN. Give us two things that young people can do to go out and share their faith.
I would say the first thing is to prepare. And when I say prepare, it basically comes down to doing as much as they can to absorb what they've been given by God and by the church, and first and foremost, I would say to try to read Scripture. There's so much in Scripture that will help us and inform us, and it's not necessarily always right on the surface, but if we do so in a really, you know, prayerful, hopeful, and slow, you know, patient way, then I think that will really help a lot in terms of giving us a language or a mindset for how to defend our faith. And secondly, I would say it's important to pray. You know, I would definitely emphasize that prayer not only prepares our own hearts and minds for, you know, defending our faith, but it also allows us in those moments of hurt and of confusion, you know, when someone has come to us, you know, seeking to provoke us or challenge us or even be, you know, hostile, that we can pray for them. And I really believe, and I've seen this in my, you know, few years on this earth, that, you know, when someone does hurt you, you know, especially as deeply as can be done when talking about faith and things like that, that healing really does come when you pray for them and ask that God would forgive them, you know, like he asked on the cross, for they know not what they do. You know, and but I don't want to undervalue the place of study and of really continuously absorbing ourselves in, you know, the Scripture and the writings of the church fathers and mothers, and, you know, even contemporary books, you know, that talk about you know, these kinds of things. It's really important to educate ourselves, to keep ourselves fresh and aware of what's going on.
Very good, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father.
You've been listening to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and I'm Mike Trout. If you'd like to interact over this topic, when you go to our website at myocn.net, click on the blog link. You'll open up the sounding, and there will be a number of opportunities there to communicate with others about what you've heard today and similar discussions. That's the blog link on the homepage. We're a nonprofit outreach. Do remember that we need your financial support, especially here during the summer months. Go to our Donate Now link off of the homepage and look at all of the different ways you can join with us financially and become a partner in this outreach around the world. That's myocn.net. Join us again next week at this same time when we'll once more take a look at a similar topic through the lens of the Orthodox Christian faith. And don't forget to always have faith in what you listen to.